Welcome to the latest. I'm sorry if I sound down. Celtics post game show, CLNS Media. This is James Hollis, aka Snotty Drippin. I'm watching the final seconds of as the Jazz put the finishing touches on a. We've heard the heart attack kids. Well, the heart attack Celtics, and this is not the way it's supposed to end. But after a thrilling victory against the Suns, when they were down like 20, I don't know, 25, 22, whatever, the Celtics came back and won. Well, they tried to recreate it against the Jazz, and they found a lot tougher opponent. 8 seconds left, Jazz up 121 to 113. It is what it is. Waiting for my co-host to come on, but yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. If you want to take anything, I guess not even positive. I guess on the plus side, the Celtics are doing this without Kyrie Irving, who missed the game for personal reasons. I guess his grandfather passed, and he was at the memorial, so we understand. But Donovan Mitchell just hit a couple free throws, and yep, Celtics. Tip your hat to them. They cut it to four a couple times, but you know the Jazz held firm. Oh, Ricky Rubio, that Ricky Rubio. So, what are you gonna do? Final score: Jazz 123, Celtics 115 on a meaningless dunk by Jason Tatum in the final seconds. There's some positive takeaway from this. And the MVP of this game was Joe Ingles, who just went bonkers in the second quarter and some in the third. He was hitting second, third, really. That's second quarter is when he did his damage. He was hitting threes from everywhere. It's not great, but what are you going to do? Let's wait for my co-host. Final score. The story of this game, obviously, was Gordon Hayward returning home, returning back to the Jazz. And he was booed from the opening tip, from when he walked on the court. Every time he touched the ball, every time he showed his face on the Jumbotron, he got booed. You understand, Utah is a different kind of market, right? It's not the Celtics. They haven't had a lot of star power throughout the years, you know, since Stockton and Malone. You know, the best they had was, what, Deron Williams and Carlos Boozer. So I get it, you know. Gordon Hayward was their, you know, their drafted homegrown star. Did his thing for years. And the way he handled the whole debacle with his, you know, the leak came out. And then, like, he said, no, I'm still thinking. And the Players Tribune article is being written. I get it. They're, you know, it's going to take – they'll probably never really forgive him. It is what it is. But I don't know. It's a bummer. He didn't look good. You can see that he was kind of overwhelmed by the emotions of the whole thing. And, you know, I think he made his first shot. And after that, he looked really bad. He was pressing a little bit. You can see both he and our boy Jason Tatum just wasn't really into it. For whatever reason, I don't know. Tatum, you know, that's a whole different story, and that's maybe something we'll address later. I think my co-host might be here.
Hell yeah.
Hello,
dude. Hey, how are you doing?
Who's
we're gonna start right after the this is the Riffs Man.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, sorry I'm late. I was watching the end of it.
You're good, man. And you're giggling about the end of the game.
Oh, it was so funny, dude. Whenever Marcus does that stuff, it's just hilarious to me. Like, that foul he drew on Mitchell was just, like, genius. Like, he's an abstract impressionist of getting flop calls for himself. He's a genius.
Yeah, man, I'm not even mad. I'm laughing. You're right.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm sitting in my condo just laughing right now. Me and my hot girlfriend laughing. We're not even mad.
Dude, it's me, my hot wife. I'm hanging here with Slash from Guns N' Roses and Wendell the Atomic Boar, and we're just having a fun time and not mad about a single thing to do
right.
with basketball.
I'm not mad at all online. So what do you take away from this game?
Well, I think it was more of a defensive thing. I think they were really defensive in rebounding. I don't think we could have, like in fairness, I don't think we could have reasonably expected to put in Williams to deal with Favors and Gobert, who are just so much stronger than he is at currently. And it was a mix of things. It's kind of who we are right now. We're up and down, quarter to quarter. I thought there were some good things in terms of – I thought they had decent shot selection, relatively speaking, after that stretch in the third where it got really bad. But it's kind of hard to say right now. They're just kind of up and down, and Kyrie wasn't there. So not that,
yeah.
That like, we could easily lost just in bad or worse, you know, or once. But definitely it's just one of those things where you got to just – press on to the next one. I think there was some positive developments with Tatum tonight, especially.
What'd you say about Tatum again?
I thought he had a better approach in the first half tonight, in that he kind of got going a little bit, other than those last few layups.
I really feel the difference. I don't think he played a good game at all. I feel like he's really pressing.
I'm thinking like more shot selection tonight. I liked more. I like when he's shooting more threes and going towards the rim.
They might not have
gone in, but I thought the process was a little bit better and a little bit more.
No, I don't think that.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody was up and down. Nobody had a really good game. I don't think. I thought, well, other than Smart, who is a pirate basically. He's a Buccaneer. But other than that, it was just kind of one of those ones. It just wasn't fun to deal with.
Hey, would you rather get beat by 16 or lose the way they did tonight?
Oh, it depends. I thought it was good that they showed some fight and they're building those not building habits, but they're getting like a rapport together now. They're starting to know where guys want each other and spot in those moments, so that like. I think in those comebacks, it's like that's a very, very it's like an intense version of execution. So they were doing well within that when they tried to make that comeback. So I think that's kind of an encouraging thing. But overall, it's just like last year. You shouldn't have to be coming back that much. But
exactly.
That's where we're at right now. And it's been up and down. And it's like I don't blame anybody specifically for it. It's just been – something to work through. Hayward hasn't been who he was, and that's understandable. So,
I'm a little concerned about Jalen. He's really struggling to find how he fits in with the rest of his team.
Yeah.
I know how talented he is, and know like he. You know, we saw the videos of him working this summer on a lot of individual things, and you can see him trying to break him out. You know, but like when he breaks the offense and try to do his thing, and then, you know, 8-foot-tall Rudy Gobert standing right in front of him, he's not realizing, and he's trying to shoot over the top of him, getting it thrown to the third row. Like, he went 4-for-17, 1-for-7 from three. Other than the big dunk, he was just not really a fat. You know, he was – him and Terry Rozier, you know, the leaders in – well, I guess the bottom, the seller in net plus minus, Rozier was negative 18.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
and Brown. Yeah, man. And
man. Hello. Sorry,
the fun loss
dropped for a second. Yeah. No, but those two have just been struggling, and they're like, I feel for them because they're like, they don't want to be playing that. Like, nobody wants to be struggling. But I think just simplifying the game and not trying to do too much would be a lot better. Just stick to trying to get corner threes and layups and not showing off too much with the handle. Just try to play within the movement and it'll come. You know, Mike D'Antoni always says the ball finds energy, and they haven't had the best energy off the ball. So I think that's with harder cuts, with better execution of screens and stuff like that. But it's just how it's been. It seems like we try to have an egalitarian offense, but it's one in which everybody has no role, if that makes sense. It's really hard to keep that consistent rhythm, and we shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I thought, at least in the short term, as Kyrie gets back for the next game, just running through him and leaning on him for the time being is going to be important to get wins as we build the rapport to try to survive and stay above water.
Yeah, I agree, man. And it's something I've been thinking about more and more, is that, you know, our good friend Matt Moore, you all probably know him as HP Basketball. He tweeted something last season. He tweeted, I remember this clearly, the Celtics are generating all these open looks, and, you know, that's supposed to be good offense, but if nobody's making shots, how good is that really good offense that you're running? And it sounds ridiculous, right? Because if you're getting open shots, that's good offense, guys. Yeah. Shots. But Coach Steven said it, for 18 months, this has been a problem. We haven't been making shots. So if you're still running offense instead of making shots, I'm not saying it's a bad offense, obviously, but there is something to a more traditional offense where Kyrie and maybe Tatum take a bulk of the shots. And then, I don't know, you let Brown go to the second unit and he takes a bulk of the shots. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, I know it's early, and they're 7-5, which isn't terrible. You know, it is what it is. Philly's struggling worse. Other teams in the East are struggling worse. And I think Toronto right now is just running away with the East, and, you know, if they get the number one seed, so be it.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things, too, because I don't want to, like, there's always an excuse when you're not playing well. Like, last year I would always lean on the good old London trip thing where we're playing a game every night, basically. But like everything else, Kyrie wasn't there tonight, Tice wasn't. But we have more than enough depth, and it's one of those things where almost all of these losses could have been with a more consistent second and third quarter been very avoidable, even though their strength of schedule has been really good. So it's more of a focus thing, and they might not have come into the season really with the right mindset. Maybe it was too much too fast for Jalen and Tatum and Terry last year after the playoff run. Not to delve into the psychological aspect of it too much, but they definitely went into the preseason a little bit cool, like what Jalen said, and it's taken a lot for them to find those stretches, like in the comebacks, but the past two nights, to where you can play that like that without having to get down 16, you know what I mean? You can play with that force and that tempo. So I think they just got to get their shit together more than anything.
Yeah, that's why I thought maybe they have a little bit of that success hangover, you know, and of course, this is not like a championship hangover because they didn't win a championship, but, you know, those young guys got a little taste of success in the playoffs, they did really well, they pushed the Cavs, they started reading their press clippings, they heard the talk, they heard the rumbles, and no matter, I don't care who you are, if you're 21, 20 years old, and you hear everybody telling you that you're the greatest and you're going to be the next superstar and you're on the cusp of superstardom, it's going to affect you a little bit. And I feel like especially, and this is not a knock on Jason Tatum, but I mean, damn, we saw the press, we heard it, we heard everything this summer. Is he going to be the best player on the Celtics by December? You know, we heard this talk, and even if he doesn't, you know, it's like this, he doesn't want it, but he hears it. So and that's what it looks like right now.
We might have accidentally pulled the Washington Wizards this offseason. But, it's just human nature. He played so damn well against the Cavs in such an intense environment that it's like, I mean, it's just human to think that, like, okay, I've arrived. I get the shots like a star. And then, like, one of the things I've talked about with other people is, like, the dynamic of it, like, would have been a lot more simple if that injury didn't happen last year because we're reintroducing what our hierarchy was last year with Kyrie and Gordon and Al, but we have guys who thought they earned their way into having that role too as scorers, or at least in terms of like shot distribution. So I think in some ways it's like it's a natural thing to work through, but at the same time, it's on them to realize, okay, this is where we're at. I wasn't maybe that good, or that isn't my role this year. So I think they can get back to being who they are.
I mean, also,
it's going to take a little bit of time.
You know, for a team that talks about growth mindset and science, mindset and doing it the right way, they in a lot of ways they skipped steps last season, right?
Yeah.
And it was more about the results, not the process. Even though the process was really good, you know, they were young, they played hard, and they scrapped together, but they got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 against LeBron James. And, you know, I'm not sure if maybe in a way, like tonight, right, perfect example, Tatum pulled a move out of his bag on Donovan Mitchell. He did a tight little behind-the-back, like, spin move. He put a move on him that was just – I'd never seen him do that before. But he kind of stumbled as he came out of it, and then he didn't make a clean catch, and he tried to put the ball up over Rudy Gobert, and he missed the layup. So it's like everything is there, right? Hello? Did we drop a call?
Hey, my bad, dude. Yeah.
No. So I was just saying, what's the last thing you heard? Do you hear me? I was talking about the spin move that Tatum put on Donovan Mitchell. Fumbles. He stumbled a little bit because it wasn't a tight spin. He fumbled the catch, and then so if he made a clean move, he would have had a wide open layup. But he didn't, and Gobert got there and challenged it. And he missed the layup. You know, he tried to throw it over the top of him, and that's what I'm saying is like everything they have the concepts down. They just haven't perfected them. They have the rotations down. They haven't perfected. Offensively, the sets are there. They're not comfortable enough running them. And when they miss a couple of shots, they go. They say, "All right, well, I'm going ISO." You know, Terry Rozier tonight.
Yeah.
For even though the numbers looked good, he had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, no turnovers. But he had the worst plus minus on the team. And there were several times he came down, he took ill-advised shots, and then the Jazz went down the other end and splashed a three or got a dunk or whatever. And so he was not to blame, obviously, for the big hole they fell in, because that was just Joe Ingles going supernova. But, like, you know, every possession matters. And I think maybe the Celtics don't realize that right now. They got the lead within 4, and they started trying to go for the home run. You know, they're within 4 with, like, a little 5 minutes left. And instead of just trusting the offense, you know, I think Smart came down and just pulled a 3 quick. And you know, so they just never got it under 4. And that was kind of like, you know, they got a little too thirsty to get the win. So
definitely.
Yeah. So who's your Celtics player of the game?
That's tough. I thought Smart really was doing a lot of good stuff out there. He puts himself through hell on some of those rebounds, man. Like he got 4 like close quarter rebounds just dropping straight on his back. I think the one where he got the rebound, fell down on his back, passed it, and then got up and got a 3. I was just like, I was out of my mind, jacked up on adrenaline from that. But I appreciate him because what he said last night is he said it was sad that people aren't making the effort, that extra effort to be a good teammate and to be the one who sparks the ball movement and stuff like that. And I think he was that tonight, really. So. He puts his money where his mouth is. More than anybody else on the team.
For a team that's so close to the vest, for him to even say that, like, I'm not worried on a scale of 1 to 10, but I'm starting out at a 1. I'm like at a 3 or a 3.5 or something because, I mean, that's not a.
No, you don't want to have to hear that. No. Like, that's
not
one
great.
Of the things like that. You hear that from the Wizards or you hear that from, like, the Cavs last year or something like that. And with all the expectations and justifiable expectations because there is so much talent, I think that's definitely worrisome. But I feel better knowing that he's in there, that he can affect it in both practice and in games. So it's just one of those things. It's disappointing, but they can work through it, I think.
I mean, and again, I always say give a team 20 games before you start passing kind of like judgment, whatever, you know. So it's impossible to say anything right now. We've seen teams look like world beaters, you know, for the first month, and then they fall off a cliff. And we see teams look very average and then take off. So, no, I'm not stressing too much. I have faith in Brad Stevens. I have faith in the front office. And more importantly, I have faith in the roster that, you know, these guys generally care about each other. They want to, and that's the thing. Like, even the mistakes they're making, the things they're doing wrong, they're doing it because they want to win, right? They're not doing it just to be jerks. They're doing it because they want to win. So, yeah, I'm not
too. Yeah, a lot
too,
of that, like you were saying with Rozier and stuff and Jalen and stuff, they make mistakes not coming out of, like, a bad place, but out of being overly ambitious, wanting to not have to hit the singles. So I think if we can slowly but surely start hitting those singles more and more, just making big cuts and getting simple layups, what have you, and maybe not always going for the home run, that's a big part of it. Because I think a lot of when they get down, it's because I think they get lazy on offense sometimes. Like, they off ball, they get lazy from time to time on offense, which is a really weird thing to say, but it's been something for at least a year and a half now that can be a pretty consistent problem we have, I think, in terms of screen setting, especially.
So you think like they're not running, they're running through the motions, like you said, they're not cutting hard. If they know they're not getting the ball, they're not cutting hard. If they
just a lot of execution stuff that they could clean up and stop being as ambitious, trying to go for like just massive plays rather than just simple basketball players.
Yeah, I agree, but you know, there's also the. I was listening to a podcast with that, but they were saying that I think a lot of these guys are all so good and talented. You know, they all feel like, huh, I can take this guy in front of me anytime I want to. And then, so when they run the offense a little bit and the guy missed a shot, missed two or three of them, instead of saying, let's trust the offense to keep running, it's like, all right, well, I'm going to make something happen now. You know? So.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, if you were to look at this thing and say, maybe we should switch up the lineups. What are you thinking that are lineups that have been good in your eyes?
Man, that's tough. So, I mean, if you got Gordon Hayward on a minutes restriction, I would almost say let him go to the bench first. You know, start with him on the bench. The problem with that, I don't know, man. I really do feel like, in a way, that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have earned that starting spot, but it's not who starts and finishes. So maybe one of them might have to go to the bench. I'm trying to think who you start in their place, because I like Smart off the bench, running second units, which he could still do as a starter. Morris obviously is a flamethrower off the bench, and I think that's where we need to keep him. Obviously, he's been so good. I think he's been the Celtics' maybe at least most consistent player.
Yeah,
right?
he's been incredible, and is like he's just so consistent with what he's doing on both ends. Like he's saved the season in a lot of ways so far. It could be way worse if it wasn't for him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hands down. Like he almost he was a big part of the reason they were coming back to today. He's been really good. He's shooting the three with a lot of confidence. What do you all right, same question to you. What line of change would you make?
I think I would, and I'm like a hardliner on this, but I'd like to see maybe some lineups with a little bit more length, with maybe some, just for defensive purpose, maybe a little bit of Al and Robert together, just to see what, like, and you could test it out in small portions, maybe in a game that's not going well or you're up big. But I think every time I've seen Robert, the defense, they're not making the big plays defensively that they can be. They're settling to just see if somebody's going to hit it over them. And I think in a lot of ways they could be more disruptive on defense. And I'd like to see maybe a little bit of that. I mean, if nothing else is working and Baines is a little bit banged up and Tice is out for a while, it would be worth a shot maybe.
It's just it's frustrating, because while overall the defense, when they want to, they really can lock in, but then Joe Ingles was just walking to the basket, you know, multiple plays. They're reacting instead of attacking defensively, and that's frustrating to see. So
yeah, definitely agree with that. Now, this is a really good Jazz team. Where do you think they are? I mean, this is outside of the – probably one of the better teams we've played thus far, right? I thought they were really, really executing at a high level.
Yeah, they're definitely, you know, I think a lot of offseason prognostications had them, you know, top two, top three in the West. And of course, the Galaxy Brain take was they're going to be top two. And it's not, that's not far fetched because the Rockets are struggling and the Jazz, like you said, they're mm-hmm. I think they're kind of, they're a rhythm team and they're known as slow starters and they're starting to, it's no long season still. They looked, you know, a little bad, a couple injuries here or there. And, but tonight, like you say, they almost are like the Bizarro Celtics, right? Where they're deep. They execute they actually out executed the Celtics today, right? And they have a certain level of trust and understanding of their roles that the Celtics are trying to figure out still, and it showed.
Yep, definitely. I mean, there are so many of those threes that Crowder and Ingles got. It was just like you couldn't botch that more defensively, but they also were just really, really, really clean on offense with their ball movement.
Man, yeah, it's frustrating. The ball movement, the decision making, like they know exactly when are they gonna hit the roller, you know, when Rudy got all the open dunks early, and then when we're gonna make the skip pass. Oh man, Ingles was so good today.
That dude can ball, man. He can really. I mean, he's like, you don't ever expect a good defender. He can really hit. He gets hot. At least the last couple of games I've seen him. He's just stroking.
I think
more
importantly than that is that he's a frustrating defender. And you can, I think today he got into Tatum a little bit. Same way he did Paul George in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's physical.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, stays in your chest and doesn't let him get a head of steam. Because all those guys are quicker than him, right? But they can't, you know, they can't accelerate because he's all over him. And they're not going to go past him. So.
He's so damn strong, you can't move him off the block. It's almost like, it's kind of like in the same way, like, I think it's a moot point to try to post up Horford and Baines. I think it's kind of a moot point to try to outplay him physically on the low block as a wing because he's so damn good at it.
Similar to what he did to Paul George, it was one play when Tatum was still in the backcourt. You know, the ball wasn't even inbounded yet. He's just kind of bumping him and touching him. And you know, then I think those things kind of wear down a player over the course of a game because we saw Tatum, he's long, he's strong, but he blew two, like, layups in the closing minutes.
Yeah.
Like, those are layups, man. He got to the back.
I mean, that's such a huge difference in the game right there. They were point blank. You know, we've been having a lot of those lately. Ingles is one of those guys you got to be. I mean, obviously everybody thinks they can take him, but it's you got to be smarter. Got to just be smarter.
Yeah. I'm a little down, not on the team, just in general. It's like that new toy every kid wants, and you see on the cover of the toy, like it's set up and they're playing with it, and like all the kids are like, holy crap, they're making the faces, and it's doing its thing, right? It's spitting bubbles everywhere. And then you get it, you order it, and you get it, and you open it up, and you got to put it together. And you got to paint it. And you got to – that's what this reminds me of. Cause, you know, we heard about their workouts in the preseason and these intense practices, and their practices look great. And we saw the footage of everybody practicing and doing their summer workouts. And now that they're together, some assembly required. And I was excited to see this team come out the gates. And last season we saw them go, was it 16-2? You know, they ran off that win streak after two losses, and they just kind of, you know, it clicked. And now they're not clicking, so it's frustrating as a fan. It's a little frustrating.
Oh, definitely. It's one of those things I try to keep my cool because, like, this is the only fun I get to have for a couple hours a day, so I'm trying to keep it a little bit lighthearted. But, like, at the same time, it's like when you watch a team generate good shots and they just keep clanking the back rim all that time and you're running these good sets and it should be working, like theoretically this should be working and you expect kind of a linear progression in terms of like we were good last year, we're going to build on that because you have health now.
Right.
And sometimes that just ain't the case. And right now I think there's a lot of, there's a lot to iron out in terms of what everybody's role is. I think guys need to think about what they can do individually to make winning plays and what they're not good at right now. I think, like, trying to be a little bit more simple with it.
And another, I think a big, I'm looking at the stat sheet right now, and a huge issue is that the Celtics got trashed on the boards. What do you think the difference was on the board? Did you see? Did you look it up?
No, I don't have it up, but I like 15.
17.
At least 10 on the, I thought it was like 17. At least 10 on the offensive glass.
Holy crap. The Celtics only grabbed. They only grabbed 28 rebounds and to 45 for the Jazz. And actually, the offensive boards, they were only minus 3, like 5-8.
Yeah.
So it's not,
one of the things that I saw happening a lot was in the switch in the 1-5 pick and roll high with, or not 1-5, but forcing Hayward onto Donovan in the pick and roll. He would get to
him,
if he didn't make it, that there was that gap because they laid off a little bit to protect, I think, in terms of coverage. And that was where they killed us a bunch of times. Favors had at least like 3 in a row there. But
yep, Favors was he was a difference maker. Your boy Ingles was definitely a difference maker, and it sucks because, you know, they kept Donovan Mitchell pretty much in check. He could be an explosive scorer, but he didn't really, you know, he didn't do that much. And for him to play that poorly,
it's one of those. I think the game plan of if it's like, okay, let's see if Crowder and Rubio can punish us, I'm okay with that process. You know what I mean? Like, If they beat you, they beat you. But I thought we did a good job staying home on Mitchell a lot of the game.
And that you know what? This game goes different if Rubio doesn't hit that 3.
Oh, yeah.
Rubio doesn't hit that 3.
That was
a
spirit crusher. That one just knocks the wind out of you.
They got – so then to anyone who didn't watch, it's late in the game. It's a 4-point game. Boston quality back to 4, and they had a great defensive possession. And it ends up with Rubio, you know, they're switching, they're doing the thing, and it ends up with Rubio, you know, 30 feet from the hoop with Al Horford in front of him, down in the stance, and Rubio just dribbles up and pulls up and hits a 3 from, like, you know, 2 feet behind the line.
It was just like getting hit in the head with a sledgehammer.
That was I kind of knew at that moment that I was like, they're not winning this game. That was just one of those plays. So.
Oh, yeah, it took the life out of him. But it's like, at the same time, I think there's fight in this team still. There's fight left in them. I don't think it's like – I don't think it's an irredeemable situation or it's like fatally flawed. I think that they could come back and it is a good thing. I just figured we'd be past that at this point in time probably.
You know what? It's like you said, we thought it would be linear from next year to this year. I'm seeing improvement because, you know – I think the first couple games, Boston looked, you know, first 3 or 4 games, they just looked really out of it. And now we're seeing shades of last year's Celtics, at least in stretches, right?
Yeah.
Where the ball moves and they get on attack on defense. Like when they had that nice little run where, you know, I think they were down almost like 18. And all of a sudden, Jalen and then Terry had back-to-back, you know, stands, end up with steals and fast break, you know, layups. That's kind of like, all right, you feel a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that one, like, instantly felt like, as soon as that happened, I felt like, okay, here comes the run, because I've seen it so many times with this damn team. Like, when that momentum shifts, it's very noticeable, usually, mm-hmm. and it's gonna come on those two-way plays where they turn that turnover into a really quick two or three scores right in a row. So, I think they're still fighting them, but I think it's about simplifying the game and not getting discouraged when those shots that are coming from good ball movement don't go down. Because
and,
I think
you know,
last
I feel
night especially that happens.
If Kyrie plays tonight, it's a different ball game, right? Because
totally.
Yeah, so it's not as discouraging as it feels. I just think being down by so much, fighting all the way back to within 4 a couple of times, and just – they were so anxious to get it below 4 that, you know, someone would take a bad shot or they'd miss a rotation, they'd give up an easy something. So it was, you know, it is what it is. Tatum's he's not worrying me, but I know we've heard the rumbles that, you know, did Kobe get in his ear? It's all jokes, but even jokes are couched in jokes are couched in, you know, every joke has a kernel of truth in it. And there's a difference to him this year. I like aggression, but there are times where I feel like he just feels like, I haven't taken a shot in 3 minutes. I'm going to get a shot up right now. You know what I mean?
I feel very similar to that. I think especially, like, he has those moments where no matter what happens, if the ball is coming to him within, like, the context of it moving around the perimeter, he's going to stop and take a look at what he has. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple of possessions every game where it hits him and he's just going to hold it there no matter what's happening around him. And I thought, at least in the first half tonight, he was a lot better. I thought the process was a little bit better in those first few minutes. He got back to shooting threes and not taking so many fadeaways. And, you know, I'm like not ideologically against the concept of him being in the post or taking fadeaways. I just think if you can, right now, as everybody's trying to get comfortable and it is a struggle for everybody else to feel rhythm, maybe not as much, it's probably not as hard for him to find his rhythm as anybody else, to confine it a little bit to like the last 5-6 seconds of a shot clock if it isn't there, where that's what we go to. But I thought he was a little bit better than that, better tonight. But there's been elements, it's like what you said, that it gets to him and he wasn't looking to make the pass or see where the next movement goes to. He was just going to do it anyways. And
my issue now with him is the dribbling. Like he just like it grinds to a halt because he'll dribble for like 5 seconds and, you know, the spins and the reverse counters. It's cool if you grab it and go, you know, two dribbles, step, side step, mid range, 16 foot. That's great. But yeah. He's doing too much rock the baby and, oh well. And you know what?
Yeah, I think we've all had our moments this season where we're just smacking.
Well, it's not even that. It's just because, again, like I think he's mastered. He's like a really talented kid who still hasn't mastered the basics. Because a lot of the things he does is just, he's talented. He's awesome. And the footwork's there. It's nice, but he just hasn't really figured out when and in what situation and context do you do the things that he's trying to do sometimes. So.
And I think I'm probably harder on him than anybody else because I know how good he is. Like, I know this guy's special, special gift in that he is smart, too, and he knows what Brad wants. So I think that's sometimes why I get a little bit more mad at him rather than, like, Jalen or Terry when they're going through their struggles. Because I think, like, his are choices that he's making. Like, he doesn't have to be doing those things. So
I'm surprised we didn't see more Ojale. Why do you think that was?
It's weird because I thought, like, usually if you don't go with Ojale, it's because of rebounding, because you think they're going to get it, but they were already doing that anyway. Like, they were already going to out-rebound us anyway with our bigs. We were getting killed, so it's tough for Shemi because there's just so many people ahead of him right now, and, like, is it worth that to throw him in there, and if that two-minute stretch doesn't go right, to have that deficit be there even worse? So I can understand from a let's try to get as many wins as possible right now thing, but he's just kind of in a tough spot.
I mean, you got down 20-something. Why not?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're already down 20-something. Just throw him out there for commits in the second half. We didn't see him. So Al Horford had an okay game. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I felt like defensively. Yeah, Al wasn't that sharp defensively today, I felt. Like I said, he let Rudy Gobert's kind of – and it's not his fault. He's in pick-and-roll coverage. It's the bump man who's supposed to come down there and maybe touch Rudy. But, yeah, you know, only I know I hate to give people ammunition. Only 4 rebounds for Big Al. And, you know, we need him on the board a little better. But, you know, it is what it is. I did not know Tatum had a good game. Tatum actually had a good – I mean, the numbers look good for Tatum.
Yeah, it's 50% from the field. So.
Yeah. Four assists, 5 steals. I did not know I didn't realize his game was that good, I guess. I don't know. And, you know, he was a net neutral as far as, you know, he broke even on the floor. I would not have guessed that. All right.
Yeah, I also didn't realize that Terry actually had a fairly efficient game as well, 5-8 from 3.
Yeah, he did. But, again, like, then you look at it and he was negative 18. I just felt like.
Yeah.
Sure, towards the end that, you know, he had a couple big threes. That was great. But I felt like he, yeah, he was, you know, the early offense threes. A couple times he just went attacking and looking for his shot when, you know, it just it wasn't the time. So it is what it is. I think he's still a starting quality guard in the NBA. You know, he's not top 10, obviously, not top, maybe even top 15, but a team that has him starting, you'd be fine. You know, a team like Suns would be so with him. But, yeah, decision-making is not his thing. You know, he's looking to score. He's aggressively looking to score. So,
and that's what I think it's good that you just brought that up in terms of I've been looking at the games, and I haven't been going through them so much and looking at the stats. I've been kind of evaluating it. Like, is this guy making really good decisions within the offense and competing consistently? And it's like we've had games where guys like didn't score well, but they made really good decisions. And I think a lot of how good we are as a team comes down to Terry and Jalen making better decisions. And tonight just wasn't one of those nights.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because at times last season, our boy Jalen looked really, really good in that you know, that secondary tertiary role. He kind of knew when to attack, when to just be a lockdown defender, when to just spot up. And, you know, I guess it's hard for him right now. He's struggling, I think, the most out of everybody to figure out his position on this team. And, like, people said it this offseason. I laughed at it. You know, you got too many wings. And I think it's almost impossible to have too many wings. But there is maybe a little validity that, you know, we're seeing how hard it is for these guys to mesh their talents when a couple of their talents are, I need the ball in my hands, and I need shots to get in the rhythm. So,
yeah. One of the things I always think about is, like, people talk about if you have somebody who's really, really efficient, that if you increase their usage a lot of the time, that it's gonna, you can translate that into when you give them the ball more if they're really efficient. But sometimes I don't know how easy it is to take somebody who was efficient when they got to have that usage and then say go back to something else that's a little bit more diminished. And I think that's what he's been having trouble with.
It's the Pandora's box, man. I'm with you. I think we should pause for a quick commercial. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
All right. So, after all the talk this summer, it's a little bit deflating to watch this team just not really perform. You know, it's a case of 1 + 1 + 1 = 2.7. You know what I mean? They're not maximizing each other. They're not amplifying each other right now. So it's a little frustrating. And this is where it's funny, because last year with no expectations, it was so fun. Everything was fun.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And now we have all these expectations and it's a different kind of feeling. And maybe I'm going to start trying to be more like you, where I just, you got to enjoy the ride. I mean, this is part of the process. Like our boy Kyrie would say, this is all part of the journey right now. And there's going to be ups and downs, and everything is really an up, though, because it's a learning experience. So,
yeah, it's like, I think something stuck out to me last season when they got off that. It was a 16-2 start, right?
But, yeah, they lost their 2, and then they ripped off 16 in a row. So, yeah.
Yeah, and what I go back to something that Brad said during that, and he said, I hope Jalen and Jason don't realize it's not like this everywhere. It doesn't happen all the time like this, and that they're going to – because they didn't go through – those two specifically, like, didn't go through the losing or the chemistry issues. They saw nothing but good stuff that whole time. Kyrie and Al were amazing during that stretch, and it was cohesive and stuff like that. And they – when it comes down to it, this is the first real – I mean, injuries aside, this is the first, like, chemistry adversity they've had, or, like, strangeness in terms of finding their role – it was pretty clearly defined last season what it was they're going to do. So I think it obviously stinks, and you don't want to get so far behind Toronto, which it might already be a moot point. But it's probably a good thing for them to be going through it, because in a lot of ways, like, the two of them didn't personally experience all that much adversity last year.
Yeah, and that's it's like first world problems, right? They come right in and they experience winning, and so now this is something all teams go through, and they never experienced it, so it seems different, right? So, Gordon Hayward's leg snapped last year. He's coming back from that. We can't expect him to be 100%. We don't, Kyrie, it sucks. I hope, my thoughts with him and his family, obviously.
Definitely.
But he just started looking like his MVP, MVP form, that he started looking like untucked Kyrie again.
He's been just nasty the past week or so, 2 weeks.
He's incredible, man. I think I tweeted out, I think the last five games he's averaging 29-5-5, and he's making like 58% of his 9 threes a night or something like that. It's something stupid like that. He's dominating right now.
And the production is there, but just the way he does it sometimes, like those left-handed layups, the high point one he had yesterday late when he's going left, it's just disgusting. Like, he's so damn talented. When he's it rules that Tommy shamed him into getting back to the shape.
Hey, and that's part of it, man. Yeah, he's been incredible. So my only, my one quibble with him is I wish he would start doing it sooner. I think he almost waits until things are dire to start going. He'll take almost the whole first half off. Not take it off, but, he's a cog in the machine, and then he'll morph into a different kind of weapon. I think he needs to maybe impose his will on the game a little bit earlier.
Definitely. I think I'm into giving him more room to be the one carrying it while everybody else figures out their spot. Because, he can score at will. It's just easy for him. It's just way too easy for him. So while we're going through this, it's going to be good to get him back is he going to be back for Portland?
I hope so. It should be, right? Because this was he was out dealing with his grandfather's memorial. I think, and if he's not, we understand, right? It's all about.
Definitely.
So,
family,
but yeah,
100%.
I have a feeling he'll be back there, and then that's when the basketball court is his cathartic place, right? So we might see some
discussion
with him. Yeah, sanctuary. Yeah. There you go. Other than Jaylen's big dunk. He was 4 for 17, I think.
Had a rough one.
He's had a couple of
his. Go ahead. One of the things that's been interesting is I thought last year I feel like he's going to the basket more, but he can't, for whatever reason, it's just not finishing and not getting called in the worst combination possible, and that's been a huge hindrance for him.
I think because he kind of tries to almost like he tries to slide around people. And sure, he's going up strong, but I would rather him just go to their chest and draw the foul,
definitely.
And maybe it's the foot, right? He's dealing with a foot issue right now. They say he might have a little plantar fasciitis, which sucks. Let's hope that he said he has inserts that are supposed to help, whatever. But maybe he's not really exploding the way he normally does. But this it's an awareness thing. You don't drive into Rudy Gobert and try to do a jump hook over him. It's just not what you do, So.
Yeah, it's funny too, because last year in the game where he hit the game winner, he went lefty over Gobert and got away with it. And it's be happy with making it that one time. Don't challenge it too much.
I love the moxie, but it's not
the
best.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. So, I don't know. What do you take away from this game? Nothing?
I'm not investing too much in it, but they got to start thinking about getting their shit together really quick. And getting back home and losing good for them after the Portland game. So, still early, but there are concerns, I'd say.
And see, for me, it's not even on the court. I think on the court, no matter what the record is, they'll be really good come playoff time. My problem is I can't trash talk Sixers fans. I can't trash talk you know, Wizards fans. And my team is struggling too. So, like, tonight the Sixers are up big. Yeah, you know. So the Celtics need to make sure that they're at least, you know, really good. That way I can make fun of the Sixers for almost blowing a – I think they were up, what, like 17 or 18 on Charlotte today, and they end up, you know, coming into a dogfight in the overtime. So.
Yeah, Kemba was 3 of 18 and then proceeded to cook them for like 20 straight points or something like that. It was awesome.
And I will have to check the stats, but I'm pretty sure that Simmons did not attempt a three again. So his cowardice is holding him back.
It's insane how much, and I didn't start it, I think it was Jack, but like how much of a nerve it hit with everybody because they know he actually legitimately doesn't want to shoot them. It's just so funny. So we got to get our shit together so we can get back to the jokes portion of our experience online.
Is that my favorite thing though about newly untucked Kyrie is that, just before he started cooking up, our guy Spike Eskin over at the Rights of Ricky Sanchez pod, they do good things about the Philly. He made a big thing. He did the whole concern trolling. He's like, hey, you know what? Maybe Kyrie, you know, the knee surgeries, the injuries, so maybe this is who he is now, you know? And Mike Levin even called him on. Mike was like, I like the concern troll. He said, no, he said, hey, man, I hope he returns, but, you know, you never can tell with the guy. He's a smart guard. And, you know, after the knee injuries, maybe he never gets it back. And then immediately after, Kyrie just goes on this run. So that's always
good. We got that with Hayward tonight. And it's like, I believe in his skill set long term, that maybe he's not going to be the athletic. I mean, he was a beast in Utah athletically, which a lot of people don't really realize when he was playing the screen and roll game, how fast he gets downhill to the hoop and how much that opens for his passing and stuff. And he may not ever get there again, but I believe in his passing is great. Like, his shooting is really, really good. It's a transition for him, definitely. And you can see it a couple times a night where he's dragging ass a little bit. But I still think long-term he'll be fine.
Me too. I mean, because there's the things that he does well, which is shooting, and like you said, passing. He still does them well. And his leg, like, cracked in half, man. It's going to take time for him to get back to – you know, so he's going to be a definite asset, and he doesn't seem, you know, he saw that giant contract, but doesn't seem like he has a lot of ego with it. He had no problem sitting when they sit him and no complaints. So,
disposition kind of reminds me of Al too, like in the good ways, but also sometimes maybe when they aren't as assertive, but I think he's really good about he's okay sacrificing. Like, some people haven't been as okay sacrificing as he's been in terms of shot attempts. So, and it's just
so
like,
let me ask you, man. Let's take this to the worst case scenario and a hypothetical. Right. Who is the player who makes the most noise and says this is BS? I don't think any player does it, but in this hypothetical, it's funny. I thought it was Jaylen, but.
Yeah.
Watching Jason Tatum recently, I would feel like Jason might be the guy. Like, look, I'm too good for this cog in the machinery thing. I need to be featured somewhere. He won't really do it, obviously, guys. So, and listeners, this is just a purely hypothetical. I think Jalen's going to end up, you know, realizing that when he defends really hard, and he'll get his shots, and then he can start rolling from there and stop trying to hunt for his offense. But, yeah, Tatum right now, yeah, like you said, the Pandora's box, man.
Yeah, and, like, Jaylen, I never worry about him in a personal way because, like, he has a good balance between, like, he's obviously confident in himself, but he's pretty realistic about where his strengths and weaknesses are and staying humble with that. So I think, like, Brad can talk him through not having the same role as he had in the playoffs, but – Tatum seems to have gotten the itch for all those shots. I do worry about it with Tatum probably more than Brown.
Yeah. Who are they playing next? Is Portland coming up?
Portland on Sunday night. This is a hell of a start to the season in terms of teams. The only good team they haven't really played is Golden State at this point.
Yeah, and I think they'll be up for that game. That'll be fun to watch. We just watched Golden State get smacked by the Bucks. All right, man, we're gonna be out of here in a minute.
You
want to tell the people they can find you at, and anything you're working on?
Nothing in particular. Just posting through it, man.
So you guys can follow him on Twitter at is A Bear, right?
Yes, sir.
So I don't know. Tell me your Twitter name. I can't remember.
At A Bear Riffs.
A Bear Riffs. That's it. H-E-B-E-R-T-R-I-F-F-S. What?
H-E-B-E-R-T-H-E-B-E-R-T-O-F Riffs.
My bad. Oh, so it's A Bear of Riffs.
No, it's gotcha. Dude, so many people.
So there you guys go.
H E B
E R T O F R I F F S. There you go.
Hell yeah.
And then you can follow me at Snotty Drippin. That's like Scotty Pippen. Just move a couple letters. Move some letters around. So I'm not working on anything either because I'm being a bum. So hey,
yeah, that's how
keep your
to
heart.
Start the year.
Say it again.
Oh, that's how I've been to start the year, too. I've just been dragging ass.
So, everybody keep the faith. Take heart. Celtics are coming. They're just taking the time. And like my man Riff says, keep posting. We're going to post this into existence.
Post through it, man.
Post through it. I think that's it. I'm trying to find the little outro button. Is there an outro button? I don't know what I'm doing here. That's it, guys. The show's over. We're out of here.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right, you have a good rest of the night, man.